Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter number 31. Exodus chapter number 31. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Verse number 18. Exodus 31, verse number 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Ask God to help us here today. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you, Lord, for everything that's gone on. Thank you for the singing. Lord, it's been such a blessing here today just to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, you let us come. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to fellowship and be together like this today. And then, Lord, we come now for preaching hour, and I realize, Lord, that a responsibility is laid upon us. I pray for your help, your divine touch, and God, you'd help me preach like you'd want me to do. And I pray for that moving of the Holy Spirit of God to work in hearts and lives and touch people today that are here in this house. You know our needs. And Father, we plea unto you and we ask you with all of our hearts and all that we are that you'd help us to preach and power God be upon it. Then, Lord, the Holy Ghost do the convicting and drawing, and we'll praise you for all that you do. And I do want to say thank you for being so good to us, and thank you for your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice, please, in a verse that I read, the part of that verse, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Now, in the Word of God, you'll find three different occasions that the fingers of God wrote. And I'm going to use each one of those, and I don't know how far I get this morning, but this is burning in my heart, and I thought about the way the service is going, what I ought to do, but I really believe it's needful and necessary. God wants it, so I just try to obey God and do what God said to do. Now, when I say God wrote with his fingers, I mean three occasions that it is stated in the Word of God that God wrote, and you remember that Jesus is God, and so the last one we get to will be Jesus writing. You get where that is real quick, but these all go in a sequence that is really important. I thank God for that, and I appreciate what God did in putting that in the Word of God. Now, let me quickly say that's not only the Word of God that we have, it's what he wrote with his finger, but all the Bible is inspired, word, inerrant Word of God. Amen. I believe that with my heart. If you don't believe that, then you don't have a foundation to build anything on. You've got to believe the Bible is the Word of God, inspired of God, and God gave it all to us. Now, there's some things in the Bible he put in there that the devil said or somebody else said that wasn't true. But he's just recording what they said. But you can rest assured it is the Word of God given unto us. And I wanted to make sure you understood that before I started on this message about the fingers of God writing. And as we take those three things that he wrote with his fingers, they're very vitally important to us. And I pray that God will help us and show us today. And I'm going to deal with commandments today. I call it demands to keep it alliterated, because you find a demand to doom and deliverance in these three times. And I like it. Amen. I'm so glad I can't hardly wait to get to the last one, because it's deliverance. Praise God for it. But did you know the first one's important? The demands of God, the commandments of God? We're living in a generation that thinks we don't pay much attention to what God has to say. And then a generation that thinks, well, the Ten Commandments is for the Old Testament. This just don't have anything to do with us. I beg to choose your pardon on that. And we'll look at the Word of God today and find out. New Testament has a whole lot to say about the same thing. And he emphasizes that, even makes a greater demand. And we need to understand that in our lives. I think it would help. Did you know the woman at the well? She never really got down to business about who Jesus was until he first told her about her sin. And this generation don't like to hear about sin, but we are a sinful generation and in the midst of sinful people. And Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips and live in the midst of an people of unclean lips. And how true that is today of America and countries across our world. I pray God help me today. I'm not sure exactly how I want to approach this, but I know what God's laid on my heart, and I want to get it across to you. And I pray that God will make it real to us today. By the way, let me plug this in right here. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God does not ever change, and therefore the Word of God never changes. And what God says is wrong, period. And so I pray that God help us in this. Look with me in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter number 20. I want to read these to you so you hear them from the Word of God. And just listen as we read along with us in your Bibles. As I read, you can silently read along. And we'll start at verse number 1. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now notice that first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquities of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. We kind of throw that verse out most of the time, but God said, he visited iniquity not only to you, but your children and your children's children and their children. That's what God said. And showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And I love that. Amen. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, and thy maidservants, nor thy cattle, nor thy strangers within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. And by the way, Paul's there to say this. People sometimes want to argue about whether 6 days or thousands of years or what it was. Well, he said right here, 6 days. And talking about the Sabbath day, that was 6 days and 7 days in a week. So he talked about the 6 day. I believe in 6 days God did what he said he did. I toss that now. The sea and all that was in them is and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And so we read the commandments there. All 10 are there. And I just read them unto you. I want to call your attention to something here now as we think about going to the New Testament in just a few moments with these. But I want you to look in chapter 32 of Exodus. And verse number 7, beginning at that verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. I want you to pay close attention to that verse of Scripture. Here the Lord saying to Moses, you go and get down now. They've been in the Mount Sinai and said, you need to get down to the people that you brought out of Egypt. They've corrupted themselves. Remember the first commandment. And they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and both a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I'll make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God. And they better be glad, and we better be glad that Moses besought the Lord his God. Because it says God here. Now listen to it. and said, Lord, why doeth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? I call your attention to verse 7. God said to Moses, you led him out. You brought him out of Egypt. Moses says to God in verse number 11, you brought him out and you led him out. And of course, we know it's the power of God that got him out. But it looks like Moses didn't want to claim him. Looks like God didn't want to claim him. They messed up so bad neither one wanted to claim him. Amen. Sometimes I felt like pastoring. Sometimes I don't know why I want to claim him. I don't even know if God wants to claim him. You're welcome. I just thought I'd toss that in now. Amen. But I get tickled every time I read that because it really sounds that way. Moses and God said, Moses, you brought him out of Egypt. And Moses says to God, you brought him out of Egypt. Hey, sometimes we want to blame somebody else for whatever it is that's happening. He was in a mess down there, but you can rest assured God's right. God used Moses to bring him out of Egypt, and no question about that. He brought him out, no question in our minds about that. But here's what I'm driving at. They quickly turned out of the way. And Moses been gone several days up on the Mount Sinai with God. What a privilege he had to be there. And God had given him these commandments in there. He wasn't, and Moses, and God telling Moses now, the people down there have turned quickly out of the way. He'd already told them about worship the Lord thy God. He said there's only one God and worship him. And here they are making a molten calf and worshiping him. And Aaron, he let the people talk him into it. And then when he come down off the mount, he said, well, I just tossed in some gold in the fire and here I come as calf. That's a bunch. Well, anyhow, we know what happened. They made a molten calf and bowed down and worshiped it and said, this is the gods that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. How sad. You say, preacher, that's sad. That's an awful thing to think they turned that quick away from God. I think today it's very sad how quickly people turn away from God. I think it's very sad how people will come and say, I love God. I want to worship God and him only and give God praise and that kind of thing. And very quickly they turn aside and they're gone and you can't find them. Amen. And I think that's sad. Then I think sometimes it's sad in our churches that we ourselves, I'm talking about me and you, that we allow, we might not make a golden calf and bow down to it, but we allow other things come in our lives and occupy our time and take our substance and our situation and we fail to do what God would have us to do. Is that not right? Have we not turned aside? I believe across America, churches have turned aside quickly out of the way that God left us to go in. And God left us a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I believe that's God's command to us. And we have turned aside quickly out of that and went in other directions. Men have gone and shed their blood, given their lives. They preach the gospel and have gone in all parts of the world. And some still have not been reached for the glory of God. This thing at Sudan is really a burden upon our heart that the gospel get there while they cry for the gospel to come. And I pray God get a hold of our hearts, our life, that we may not turn aside out of the way and think, we'll just have our golden calf and do our thing. No, we need to get involved and do what God have us to do. I'm tossing that in anyway. But here the first commandment that God gave no other gods. In Matthew 22, verse number 37 and 38, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. If we take that, you can't have any other god. Amen. If you take that, those two verses, you can't have any other god. How are you going to worship God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and have some other god in your life? I just mentioned some things about our life and other gods that we have. But they, some folk, and I'm talking about me as well as you, we sometimes think about other things more than we think about coming to the house of God. And comes time to come to the house of God, we come to the house of God, but we got other things on our mind and trying to be glad the church is over and we can get out and do our thing. Amen. Well, I know it's not a shouting message, but amen. And we get things on our mind on other things that are more important than God, other things that we need. And we get so wrapped up sometimes in our feelings and our things of what's going on and how we're being this, that, and the other instead of letting God help us. Hey, we need to let God help us and worship God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all our mind. Everything that we are, give it to God and let God help us. I say hallelujah. Have no graven image, second one it said. And so the molten calf was that graven image they had. But in the New Testament, I remember in John chapter 4, and I mentioned this woman a while ago. A Samaritan came out, and she was there, and some being a Samaritan, and Jesus came, and he was going to begin to talk to her, broke the ice, and began to talk. And she was amazed that a Jew would even talk to her. And she was amazed about that. But then when he touched on her sin, it really got to her. But here's what I'm trying to say. They was in a discussion about where to worship God. And Jesus made this statement. God is a spirit, verse number 24 of John 4. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. We want to worship God in spirit. If you're worshiping God in spirit and truth, you're not going to be bowing down to some idol of some kind. Amen. Jesus is not on the cross. Amen. He's resurrected, living Christ. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's in the world today. And if we worship God, we'll worship him in spirit and in truth. We don't worship a building. And I pray to the Lord we don't worship the preacher. And we don't worship each other. We don't worship things like that. But we worship God in spirit and in truth. And you can't worship God in spirit and truth unless you let the Spirit of God work in your heart and get your mind and heart and soul in tune with the living God. I'm glad today, thank God, you can come to the house of God, filled up with God, ready to worship God when you get here, instead of depending on the preacher, the choir, and get us in a mood of worship and so we can worship God. Hey, we ought to come up with something in our hearts jumping up and down, saying it's time to go to the house of God. Psalmist David said, I'm glad when they said to me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I say today, thank God, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord and just get here this morning, worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. We come to worship him, to hear from him. I'm glad today, thank God, he's a spirit. That means he's in this church. That means he's up the road somewhere in another church. That means he's over in Japan. That means he's in Sudan. Hallelujah. And people everywhere in the spirit can worship God. Amen. Aren't you glad today that we can worship the living God in spirit and in truth? And you don't worship unless you worship that way. Amen. I appreciate the choir singing. Hallelujah. And man, they blessed my heart this morning. But I tell you what's good about it. The Holy Ghost got a touch of it. Amen. That family, Brother Carter's family that sang, I tell you right now, God got a touch on them. And those kids are singing, her singing. I praise God. There's something bubbled inside. Amen. I thank God for all of that. And then I'm glad to get up and have the privilege to preach. It's a great responsibility. I realize that. And that sometimes weighs heavy upon my heart. But it's a privilege to share Jesus Christ with others. And you'll never worship God in spirit and truth unless you've been born again. Amen. Somebody's unsaved said, well, I pray every day. No, you don't. Not unless you get saved and born in the family of God. You can't. Only way you can pray is call upon Jesus to save you and repent of your sin and turn from sin to God and believe in your heart. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. And so you can be saved, ought to be saved. But you can't talk to God if you're not in tune with heaven. The only way to get in tune with heaven is come through the mediator. There's not but one mediator, that's Jesus Christ. If you ever get through Jesus and get to God, you're saved. Amen. How are you going to get to God without going through Jesus? He said, I'm the only mediator there is. There's but one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. And he's at the right hand of God now to intercede for us. So if we're going to worship God in spirit and truth, and then we're going to have to be saved. And then if we're going to not have any golden images in our life or a molten image or idol worship, if we're not going to have any of that. And idols are a lot of idols in America today. A lot of idols, full of idols. Amen. I mean, idols everywhere. People put their mind or heart on more than they do God. Anything that we put more emphasis on than we do God is an idol. Amen. Let that sink in real good. When that sinks in good, it may help us. Amen. Oh, to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind. Not have any graven images. I got to get off of this. But anyway, we'll try to get there and get off of it. But then he said, not take the Lord's name in vain. Not to take the Lord's name in vain. And by the way, he said when what we call the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer really found in John 17, but what we call the Lord's Prayer, he's teaching disciples to pray. He said, say like this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, that word hallowed means sacred. It means it's set apart. It has almost the thought of holiness with it. It is that is separated, that is so unique that it is not to be used lightly. And I remember in the Old Testament, the word Yahweh, that the Jews would not even say the word Yahweh because of the sacredness of that name. And we today are so loosely using the name Lord and God. And as a byword has become today, may God help us realize that we ought not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. The Lord or God is not a byword. It's not a feeling word. And if you listen out in the world anytime, and not just out in the world, but church people will use that word. And we may do it unconsciously, but we need to understand that that name is holy. And that name is not to be taken in vain. And that's not the only way we take it in vain. These people that say, I'm saved, and they're taking the name of the Lord in vain because their life sure does not look like they're saved. They say, I love Jesus, but their life don't back it up. You say, preacher, you preaching works for salvation. No. I'm going to get to the Sabbath day in a minute, but I'll clear that up. But I'm telling you right now, I think we ought to realize how serious the name of the Lord is. Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a sacred name. Lord's a sacred name. God's a sacred name. Amen. And you go around down the line, sacred name. We need to not take his name in vain. Then he said, remember the Lord's day and keep it holy. The Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now we know the Sabbath was on Saturday. We know it's the sixth day of the week. And it said the Lord created in 6 days. And on the seventh day he rested. And so he rested on Saturday. And the Old Testament, that day was Saturday. And some people say we ought to do it still Saturday. But no, something happened. Yeah. Hallelujah. Something happened. You see, it was in the Old Testament, they had to do. In the New Testament, it's done. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. And so now today, praise God, my high priest has already paid the price. Sacrifice has already been made. He's already raised from the dead. He's already seated at the right hand of the Father. It's already done, thank God. I'm not doing to get there. I'm doing because it's already done, and I'm as good as there. Hallelujah, amen. And the early church met on the first day of the week. And we need to remember that and get together on the first day of the week. And see, we're in this dispensation of grace today, this dispensation of the church. And I say to you, hallelujah, I'm glad for Sunday coming around, amen. And we can rest and we can worship God. And by the way, we need to keep the day as much as possible as God would have us to keep this day. It's a good day to be in the house of God, good day to worship God together, good day for all that. It's a good day to go home after church and take a nap. Amen. Amen. Brother Mark come alive on that. After preaching like you did Wednesday night, you ought to at least be jumping up and down. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, hey, listen to me. I thought the Bible says the day's for, amen. It's not to mow the yard on. Amen. You're welcome. Hallelujah. It's not a day to get out and work and do labor like that. Hey, if the ox in a ditch, get the ox out of the ditch, but don't push the ox in. Amen. Some people push the ox in the ditch and say, I got to get him out. If you're going to push him in, wait till Monday. Push him in, amen. Well, I've got to hurry, amen. I'm kind of liking this myself, amen. After I got into it, amen. I wasn't sure how you're going to take it, but it don't make any difference how you're going to take it. God said, do it, so here it is, amen. And then it said, honor the father and thy mother. And think about that. Boy, we need that today. I noticed in Japan that it talked about, on the news, it's talking about how the people were taking care of the elderly people. and then making sure they were taken care of, and then putting out, and their way of living is such that they take care of their families and that they're concerned about them. If we're not careful in America, we get to where we kind of forget about that. And we need to understand, we need to honor our father and our mother. Amen. Now, they may not be, they're not perfect, neither am I or you. And they'll have their faults, and you have yours, and I have mine. But we are to honor father and mother. That's what the Bible says. Amen. In the New Testament, in fact, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that thy days may be well upon the earth, and I can't get it exactly, but it means long life too, said in that verse. But what I'm trying to tell you is we are to honor our father and our mother. Amen. They brought us into this world, took care of us when we couldn't take care of ourselves. And may God help us to honor them. I realize at times you have to do certain things, but I'm just saying we need to honor them. That's what God said. It's not, and by the way, this is for young folk. Tossing this and that right here for young folk. It's not, I don't want to do that. Or, you can't make me. By crackies, why not? I remember growing up when my dad said jump, I asked him how high on the way up. Because if I didn't, I'd be picking myself up. But we living in a generation today that, of course, I realize the social service got involved in all this and people afraid to take care of their children and straighten them out. I tell you, well, preacher, you've been getting nosy now instead of helping us. These young folk agree with me. Yeah. So, yeah, amen. Dallas said amen. He didn't say it. He shook his head at me. He knows it's right. Amen. Daniel, he knows it's right. He's sitting there grinning. Amen. They know it's right, but we need to do that. And you see it in stores and some kid somewhere. We see it in church sometimes. You say, better nobody say anything to my child. Well, if you go take care of them, they won't have to. Amen. Preacher, we can do without that kind of preaching. Well, you can, but I'm here now, amen. All right, you're welcome. Then it says, thou shalt not kill. I want you to turn to chapter 5, book of Matthew, chapter 5. Thou shalt not kill. Verse number 21. You have heard that, chapter 5, Matthew, verse 21. Thou hast heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in... That was a put-down word for the Jews used to say no good and good for nothing, was that word. And shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And so he's saying here, it's not just killing with a knife or a gun or that kind of thing, but it is killing with words and be judgmental and holding grudges and that kind of thing. He said, and taking away somebody's influence and what they want to do for God. He's saying, don't do that. If we hate, then murder's already in our heart. And you say, preacher, you don't know what they did. No, I don't. And you don't know what folk have done in our case or your, I don't know what they've done in your case, but I do know this, that you can, I know when Job prayed for his friends, he got some help. Amen. I know what God said about it. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? And I'm praise God for it. But notice, he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse number 27 of Matthew 5. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And I remember Brother Ronnie teaching here last Sunday and mentioning something about that. And we need to understand the fact that it's not necessarily the very act itself, but the look and the desire. And if you don't handle, if you don't let God, you say, that don't bother me. If you're a man, it bothers you. Amen. You're welcome. I just thought I'd plug that in. But you think about that. And if we don't keep ourselves close to God and let God help us, we'll have the thoughts in our mind and in our heart. And then God said, thou shalt not. I believe God meant thou shalt not. Amen. And we need to ask God to help us quickly with that when the temptation comes by. He said, thou shalt not steal. In 2 Corinthians 8:21, you're like this, Brother Ben, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Amen. That's what he said. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. We ought to provide everything honest in sight of God and man. He said not to steal. We won't go into all of that. But sometimes we steal by stealing time. Sometimes we steal by just taking some. Let's put it this way. Let me just give you a good illustration. If I get a postage stamp out of the office in there, use something personal for me, I'm going to pay for it. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying I'm stating a fact. Because I believe that you ought to be careful what you do. You're welcome. I just thought I'd plug that in. Thou shalt not steal. Then said, not bear false witness. And Colossians 3:9 said, lie not one to another. And so he said, you put off the old man with his deeds, so don't lie to each other. And then the last one is, thou shalt not covet. I won't take time to read the scripture, but in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about the fact that lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. And so, and today we live in a covetous generation that wants this, wants that, wants the other. And we need to understand, thou shalt not covet. Amen. You don't have to have everything. Well, I don't have to have everything, but I have to have Jesus. I have to have God in my life. I have to have him to help me. And I've thrown out these Ten Commandments because I believe they're in the Word of God. I believe they're not in the Old Testament and New Testament. I believe they're the same. We need to still take heed to what God said. Some judge, you remember some time back, had the Ten Commandments hanging in his office or in his courtroom, and they was having a fit about it. Boy, we need the Ten Commandments. Amen. We need them everywhere in our lives. We need them in our hearts. We need them in our minds. We need them. We need what God said. Thou shalt not. But let me close out and say this. Thank God. I know that God did make a way for me to be saved. And I certainly have failed in these. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I believe that. Amen. And so in 1 John chapter 2, I believe about verse 3 and 4 somewhere in there, he said, by these things we know that we are children of God because we keep his commandments. He that saith he loveth God and keep not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's what God said. And so we need to have a desire in our hearts to keep the word of God and do what God said. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for thy word, thy truth. It's real, it's right, it's good and appropriate. I pray that you seal it to our hearts and help us today, that we'll do what you'd have us to do. These folk here today, maybe you spoke to their hearts about something in their lives. They need to get right with God. Maybe somebody here today that you've spoken to them, they're lost. They're without God. They need to get saved and born in the family of God. I pray your will be accomplished in this invitation. Lord, it's your invitation. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.